The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
As we emerge from the worst of COVID, we hope some of us are beginning to, well, look downwards and worry a little bit about that COVID stone and how we might lose it. So I was interested to read Damien Cullen writing in the Irish Times on Tuesday about his experience of intermittent fasting. To talk to me more about what all of this entails, I'm joined now by Professor Francis Finucan, the consultant endocrinologist in Galway University Hospital. Francis, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. We appreciate your time. Maybe I'll start with a very basic question. What exactly is intermittent fasting?
Hi, Kieran. Yeah, well, intermittent fasting is simply a process where food intake is restricted to specific times, be that a certain number of hours in the day or a certain number of days in the week. And the idea with it is that you ultimately reduce your food intake over the time on average, and ultimately that would lead to weight loss and a reduction in the risks associated with excess weight, or a reduction in the severity of the complications that arise from obesity.
Okay, is there science behind it? Does this work?
Well, that's a great question, and it depends what you mean by does it work. The short answer is that there are some studies which suggest that in the short term, it leads to modest weight loss. The best systematic review suggests about 3 kilograms in people who go on such a program for a period of months. However, there's no evidence, unfortunately, yet, that going on such an intervention would lead to a reduction, say, in your risk of cardiovascular disease or diabetes, nor would it prolong your life necessarily or make you happier. So those harder outcomes that we look for in clinical interventions just aren't proven when it comes to intermittent fasting. Now, that's not to say that it isn't potentially beneficial in some patients. And I would say that with any weight loss intervention or any dietary intervention to improve health, there's always going to be what we call heterogeneity in the response. In other words, some people will respond better than others over time. But compared to other interventions to treat overweight and obesity and their complications, such as drug therapy or surgery or the better established lifestyle interventions, intermittent fasting just doesn't have a very strong evidence base.
Are there certain people who shouldn't try it, Francis?
Well, I think most people, to be honest, would be reasonably safe seeing if it works for them. The group who immediately come to mind are people with diabetes, especially if they're on diabetes medications that could cause hypoglycemia or low blood sugars. It may be that if you fast for a day, for example, that the effect of lowering the blood sugars from those medicines could be more than it ought to be when you haven't had anything to eat, and that could pose a risk. And that has been studied quite extensively in people with diabetes who fast for Ramadan. So, that's something that's a potential risk. So I think if you're somebody who's on treatments, tablets or whatever, for the complications of overweight or an unhealthy diet, such as hypertension, diabetes, then it's something you should probably speak with a healthcare professional about, such as your GP, a dietitian, specialist nurse, etc.
There are different types of this intermittent fasting. There's 16:8 and 5:2 seem to be the two numbers that get cited. 16:8 is where you don't eat for 16 hours and you eat for the other 8. So I guess you have your breakfast at noon, you don't eat anything after 8 p.m. in the evening, and that's it. The 5:2 seems a little more extreme from my point of view anyway. I'd like to hear your view on it. This is where you've severely restrict your calories to about maybe 500 a day. Now, for people who don't count calories, that's maybe about 20% of what a man my age who exercises might be eating on a daily basis.
Right.
That seems extreme to me.
25%, Well, no. I mean, humans are evolved to go for 24 hours without any energy intake. I mean, if they're otherwise healthy and well, you know. So that's not something that would pose a great deal of risk to individuals necessarily.
Okay.
As I said, if you're somebody who has kind of underlying cardiovascular disease, on lots of medications for blood pressure, or if you take insulin for diabetes, you definitely need to speak to someone who knew what they were talking about before embarking on such a program. But otherwise, the risks are very, very low for people. And it could be that it works very well for you in line with other strategies. So, I mean, if you're going to rely on this on its own, it may not be as effective as if, for example, you made a choice that you were going to eat wholesome, healthy foods, avoiding ultra-processed foods even, and, maybe taking the decision to make sure that you're physically active every day.
Yeah, I wonder about whether the effect of this is just that because you're doing this 16-8 or 5-2, that it makes you conscious of what you're eating. And just by being conscious of it, you probably eat healthier and consume fewer calories. Let me ask you about that in a moment. But I want to bring in Heather Leeson, who is a nutritional therapist with Glenville Nutrition. Heather, you have tried, or you do engage with these intermittent fasting diets. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, both personally and also with a lot of our patients. Now, as Professor Finucane said, the research is still in early days yet, but it's very easy for people to do. And also, as he said, very safe even to fast for 12 hours overnight. So, you know, you can get any combination of numbers, but 12-12 is a pretty safe one for people to try. And that's just where you don't eat for 12 hours overnight. So you might finish your dinner by 8 o'clock in the evening and then have breakfast the next morning at 8 o'clock, and you've just done a 12-hour fast pretty easily.
Okay, but would you really lose that much weight if you're like, because what a lot of these are sold on is kind of this idea that you can eat whatever the hell you want while you're eating. I mean, if I ate whatever I wanted between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., I hate to break it to you, Heather, I don't think I'd lose a lot of weight.
No, and I guess, I mean, there's no magic bullet here. There is some research on how the intermittent fasting is a little bit different. But at the end of the day, if you're going to eat very, junk and heavily processed foods, then you're not going to lose weight. It's not going to be the healthiest diet for you anyway. So, of course, I would be recommending that you eat healthily anyway. But one of the benefits, I think, for me with patients with the intermittent fasting, the 12-12 even, or slightly longer, is that it cuts out the mindless grazing that a lot of us might be tempted to do in the evening. It's very simple. You don't have to decide, do I have that chocolate bar that I really want, or do I go for the apple that the nutritionist told me to eat? You don't have anything. It just takes the decision out of it. It's very clear and very simple to follow. And, you know, the longer fast, say fasting for 16 hours or 14 hours, that can take a little bit of practice, but it's pretty easy to start with a 12-hour fast. And if you find that suits you and there's no negative repercussions, and if you're able for that, then for some of us, it's safer to try and extend that a little bit.
I would be a fiend for that now, Heather. When I get home from I get in the door about 8:30, and you've had a commute home, and it's very easy to make a cup of tea and think, you know what, I'll just have a couple of biscuits with a cup of tea. And a couple of biscuits becomes, well, sure, look, if you're having two or three digestives, I mean, what's five or six? It's only a couple more. And as you said, you're eating it very late, so you're not really burning it off. It's just, it's sitting there and not being put to any use. But I would find it hard not to have, at least one evening a week where I'd like to have a glass of wine or a couple of glasses of wine and a few crisps. I mean, you wouldn't want to be too militant, would you?
Well, I mean, the intermittent fasting is pretty flexible, whatever way you do it. And, I personally find that...
Drink all my wine in the middle of the day. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, well, you might get in other sorts of trouble for that. But, you don't have to do it all of the time to get the benefit of it. Of course, the more rigorous that you are, the better. But even if you say, okay, Monday to Friday, I'm going to stick to this, and then at the weekend, I'm going to let go a little bit, have a glass of wine, have a treat in the evening. You're limiting it. I mean, it's only working there really because you're limiting calories rather than any major biochemical issues. But it's still helpful just to put a little bit of shape around the week in terms of, building healthier habits.
Francis Finucane is still on the line. That question, Francis, I was wondering about whether it's just a mindset shift, but just by virtue of being on some sort of diet or program, that it makes people more conscious of what they're eating. So it's not necessarily maybe the 16-8 or the 8 or the 12-12 that are making people lose weight. It's actually that they're just eating healthier in the time in between. Might that be part of this?
Yes, it could be. But I think it's important for those of your listeners who are affected by overweight and obesity, who have maybe tried the whole be more motivated, learn more about healthy food, try the intermittent fasting or some such thing, who have tried, been there and done that, and who still have a problem with overweight and obesity, I think it's really important that they know that there are, there are other avenues for help from healthcare professionals like dietitians, GPs. There's the emerging, about to be launched, National Clinical Program for Obesity. And it's really important that those individuals know that they can speak with their doctor or somebody else about other options that are definitely more effective where these more conservative measures have failed. And it's definitely not just a sort of personality trait when somebody has weight issues. Do you know what I mean? And it's important to emphasize that to you.
Heather, is it sustainable in the long run? I mean, how long can you do something like this?
Well, I guess it's like anything. The longer you do it, the better the results. And I think for a lot of people, I think this idea of time-restricted feeding is a long-term choice. So you might just say, well, from now on, I'm going to fast 12 hours overnight most of the time. But it depends. It's like what we're trying to avoid with people is quick fixes, because if they don't work, it's not sustainable if you're trying to do something really drastic in the short term. So that's where the intermittent fasting overnight is pretty easy, flexible. You can sustain it longer term, and it's pretty good value. Now, it's definitely not for everybody, as Professor Finucane said, but for some people it works really well, and it is easier to sustain longer term than a more drastic diet, which we know for most people isn't sustainable.
Well, listen, we appreciate both of you and your time today. Heather Leeson, the nutritional therapist with Glenville Nutrition, and Professor Francis Finucane, consultant endocrinologist at Galway University Hospital.